it says, have no fear, nothing will be falling down you. In fact, what's happening right now is you're being tuned in to Blog Talk Radio. We humbly assert we are the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We go from Soul Class 721 in conversation with AskNoah.org founder Chaim Reisner. Blesses our creator, Baruch Hashem. Blessings and creators for the entire human family experience. With the creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now, live from Turtle Island equals USA equals AKA Unified Soul Actualization. It's May 5th, 2019, and it's 11:31 Eastern Standard Time. Program content will focus on being in discussion with Chaim Reisner, founder of AskNoah.org around 1998. Before establishing this landmark website, collaborating with people all around the world, Chaim invested a lot of time engaged in deep thoughts, deep dialogue, and most importantly, practical, courageous actions which led to spawning this movement from a casual discussion among friends into an international phenomenon. To learn more about this movement and this wonderful website that was spawned by Chaim and friends, you can go to AskNoah, AskNoah.org. Our call number will be 347-838-8669. We're also going to have the chat room open up if you have any comments you want to make, but you have to do that by going to blogtalkradio.com and typing Don Zuzio Goodman. That's myself, your local international cyberspace tour activist. Meanwhile, may the eternal creator bless and protect you and your loved ones in a peaceful and pleasant manner. We're going to turn down the music from the wonderful musical instruments of the human voice, heard by the Maccabees, Achenu One Day More. That's their CD. Okay, blessed souls. Now we're going to go right to the meat of today's program by bringing in Chaim Reisner. Good morning, Chaim.
Good morning, my good friend, Don.
Hashem, it's rainy, but it's okay. I don't care if the rain's in Spain or on the plane, but we're on the redemption train, and I want to say it's a great honor to have you on, sir. And this very class itself is primary evidence that there's always divine providence, because a couple weeks ago we didn't know each other from a hole in the wall, and you bumped into a good friend of mine, Yecheskel Levi Halevi, who lives in Crown Heights. He said, hey, do you know Don Goodman? You said, no, I don't know Don Goodman. And Yecheskel asked me, you know Chaim Reisner? I said, I know he's involved with Ask Noah. It's like, well, he sat next to me in shul in Crown Heights. Why don't you talk to him? So we had a phone call, and here we are, Baruch Hashem, having a telephone conversation. So welcome aboard, and I hope this will be the beginning of many conversations with yourself, and hopefully Dr. Shulman, and hopefully we can have Rav Wiener on, and anyone else who you think would promote the dispersion and the awareness of the 700 commandments. And so, Chaim, take us now back to wherever you want at any jettison point where this was more than just a fleeting thought in your mind and it started to come into a tangible reality. Take us back to where you want to, Chaim.
First of all, blessings and greetings to all the listeners. I would like to introduce myself as Chaim Reisner. I'm the founder of AskNoah.org. Somewhere around 1990, the United States government, both houses of the Congress, passed an act, and it was in honor of Education Day, the birthday of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in that piece that was signed by both houses of the Congress, you can find it on AskNoah.org, the Seven Laws of Noah. So let me tell you that the Seven Laws of Noah started actually with the first human being put on the earth, Adam. He was given six laws. He taught those at the end of that time. The great prophet Noah was given the seventh commandment, and that's where it was called the seven Noahide laws. And he taught those after the flood, and that lasted, and that was for the Gentiles of the world. There was no one else in the world at that time but Gentiles. Until Mount Sinai, when Moses received the Ten Commandments, and that began the Jewish people. At Mount Sinai, the Almighty asked Moses to make sure his followers were understanding and knowledgeable of the seven laws, and to be able to teach those seven laws to the rest of the world, to the Gentile population of the world. So I wanted to start off saying that's how it started, that's where it came from. And now we have to ask the question, who are the seven laws, who are they for? And the great leader of the Lubavitcher Rebbe asked all of his followers to please be knowledgeable and teach these seven laws to the whole world. These 7 laws promote random acts of kindness and goodness. Random acts of kindness and goodness dispel darkness. So wherever there is darkness in the room, one little match will light up that room, and each act of kindness and goodness is that match. It dispels darkness. And we, the followers who try to spread this word and bring this out to the public, when I moved from New Jersey into Pennsylvania, I started this website in 1998, and I invited my very close friend and current director, executive director of AskNoah, Dr. Michael Shulman, a very fine scientist and physicist, and he took the reins, and together we have promoted the 7 laws throughout the world. Started off quite small. Now we have followers in all the major countries of the world, in Africa, the Zulu Nation, in the Philippines. We have thousands of Philippine people following. And throughout the rest of the world, there are tens of thousands of followers bringing light to the world. So we've enjoyed ourselves. We have never set ourselves up as a headquarters, as a place where people have to pay allegiance or funds to. The only one that people is accountable to is the Almighty himself. So it's a very private, personal effort that's made by people and the Almighty, just between the two of them. And who is to gain by this? Well, since the Jewish people were asked to follow the Ten Commandments, and with that, they would receive the blessings, so to the Gentile population, the world was asked to learn and follow the 7 laws and receive their blessings and goodness and livelihood and children. So there's a need for this to be spread throughout the world, for people to mention to their friends and families to look into AskNoah and AskNoah.org and find out what it's all about. And with this, people will come to the understanding that the Almighty always provided the cure for any illness that would be in the world. So any unpleasantness, anything that's happening that is of a bad nature, the cure was put here first. And that cure, of course, is in the 7 laws and in the 10 commandments. And we also promote the concept of a moment of silence in schools. I also ask all of my friends and those listening today to please be the eyes and ears and mouth of the Almighty, so that if they recognize anything in the world that could be dangerous to people, that they should speak up, they should speak to the authorities and make them aware of what's happening, and fulfill the commandment of loving your fellow man. And with that, do you have any questions for me, Don?
Well, I just like a couple of comments. You mentioned that the original man Adam started teaching the teachings of what then would have been the 6 universal laws or commandments. Now, I do know that his son Seth would have probably taken up the mantle of that responsibility and transmitted to Hanoch, who was a very righteous person, and his son was Methuselah, and who would have transmitted it to his son Lamech, who would have transmitted it to his son Noah. And from there, eventually, in the Sefer Yashar, it mentioned that Abraham, the first Jew, learned for 30 years by Noah. So we see we have this golden chain of tradition, and then from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from the 12 tribes, all the way down to Moses, where the Almighty recommanded the commandments that we Jewish people should take upon this responsibility. So I just want to connect. I wanted to connect a few dots there to it, that it wasn't just Adam and then there was a break, but there's been a continued chain of transmission of these 7 6 originally 6, and then by when meat was permitted to mankind by Noah's time. But Chaim, the question I do want to ask you is that I remember myself in 1987 when I was a rabbinical student coming to the doors of 770 and seeing posters promoting a book that preceded Ask No Other Come called The Path of Raz Janta by Rabbi Yaakov Rogalski. And I come from an activist family, so I kind of connected to it, but I still had to learn a little bit more about being my own Judaic teachings. Now, you're a veteran of many more years of Yiddishkeit than I am. So what was it within yourself that you heard these pronouncements by the Rebbe, or you might have seen that book by Rogalski, where it became something that you took the baton and ran with it and spawned this wonderful dissemination of the knowledge of Hashem for the responsibility all human beings should readily want to accept upon themselves? What was that, so to speak, epiphany moment for you where, like, wow, I can do this?
Well, I never really felt that way. In fact, I always felt like, should I, in fact, who am I to even do this? So what I did was I went to the rabbinic authorities here in the United States, and since my daughter lives in Israel, I went to the rabbis of Israel asking them, should I put up a website? Should I do a code of law for the seven laws of Noah? And not one person said no, and they encouraged me to do it. So that was why I put together a team, a wonderful, great team of people. Rabbi Moshe Weiner did all the research. Rabbi Eli Tauger did a lot of the editing. Dr. Michael Shulman did the editing. His son Yossi did the editing. We have a whole team of people that were very involved for over 7 years producing this code of law. In Hebrew, it's called Sheva Mitzvahs Hashem. In English, it's called the Divine Code. Now, we have many other books that have been produced, but to answer your question, I did read all of the books that came out before I started. In fact, a very close friend of mine, Rabbi Lichtenstein, wrote the book, The Seven Laws. And I spent many hours with him discussing what he did and why he did it. My concept was that I wanted to reach the general population of the world who was not educated, meaning the Jewish people and the Gentile people, and put something out there that would be more easily understandable. So the Divine Code, which is the code of law, should be learned and taught to the rest of the world. But the Seven Gates book we have out, To Perfect the World, and many other volumes that we have out are meant for the Gentile population to study. And we also have a small prayer book that was developed for the Gentile population of the world. So when they ask the Almighty for blessings, they have a book that they can read the blessings from. I hope I've answered some of your questions.
Yes. Now, you mentioned before the Zulus in Africa and in the Philippines. Can you talk a little bit about those two respective movements? Because that's when you told me, I think for the first time on the first time we met over the telephone, it literally blew me away. Can you talk a little about those two respective movements and how they've been growing over the years? And when did, if you can recall, when those movements started?
Yes. The first one I'll tell you about is a wonderful human being by the name of Emmanuel Villegas from the Philippines. He contacted us many years ago and said that he was a Noahide studying the seven laws, but he really had no direction. He really had no guidance. So he asked Noah to be that, and he has been in contact with Dr. Shulman and myself and Rabbi Weiner. And he has thousands of followers in the Philippines that practice and study every day. If you go on the website, Ask Noah, there'll be an area that says the Philippines. If you click on that, it will tell you all about him and the houses of worship that they have built by hand so that they may study and practice their seven laws every day. They're very active. There's cities that have chapters, and it's growing leaps and bounds. So that's the Philippine Noahides. A number of years ago, I had heard a story, or I had read that there was a terrible killing in Mumbai, India, and a group of members of a coalition of the Zulu Nation heard of the terrible event, and they came to Crown Heights, and they spent several weeks in Crown Heights trying to find out all about Chabad. When they left, they were instructed by the leaders of Crown Heights to study the seven laws of Noah for them, and they went back to Africa. And we were asked to send our Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Law books, to them, which we did. So now they have classes studying the seven laws.
Wow. Now, when you, I want to go back to something with the Philippines, and I have a question about the Zulus in Africa. So when you say houses of worship, are there rabbis in those places? Who is leading the services, and what type of services are they conducting? Okay.
The seven laws were set up so that the Gentile population of the world studies the laws, and they themselves can pray individually from their homes without a building, without a headquarters, or they can congregate, they can come in small together in small groups. So the people in the Philippines have chosen to come together as groups of people, and they also decided they wanted to build houses of worship, and they did. The video that we have on our website shows them building their houses of worship.
Wow.
And then they then elect leaders within their own congregation to lead them in prayer and to lead them in study. In the seven laws, the people choose their own friends who they want to lead them. And if you go on the web, you'll find it. It's very interesting.
Before we go further about the question about the Zulus, now I think a lot of people who are let's be black and white, are ignorant about what the seven Noahide commandments or laws entail, thinking that the Jews are foisting upon the human beings a new religion. But the fact is, the seven Noahide commandments are not a religion. It is a lifestyle that is accessible to the Gentiles of the world to serve his creator. I say I like to use it, allegorically speaking, in the way that Abraham and Sarah went to blaze a new pathway. Now the way you're portraying it is like they're involved in heavy activism, like say any outreach projects from Agudas Israel or Chabad. It sounds pretty exciting that they're doing such outreach.
The purpose of the seven laws, as I see it, was so that each human being who was a child of God had a way of praying to the Almighty and receiving his blessings individually, at home, wherever they live, without having to congregate. We have friends in Alaska that live in different towns, individuals right from their living room that go on the web and study, and there's nobody around them from 40, 50, 60 miles. So they pray, gives them access to pray and to learn every day. The way the Almighty set up the seven laws was there didn't need to be a team. There didn't need to be a group by name. It was designed and set up so that each individual had the opportunity to reach the Almighty, his or herself. And around the world, people have gathered because they're communal. People like to be with people. So they've said, let's gather, let's get together, and let's celebrate holidays. So I know that Rabbi Weiner has instructed many of the groups around the world on what's permissible if they want to celebrate holidays, such as Passover or Hanukkah, what they're permitted to do, what they're not permitted to do according to the laws. And I know that on a regular basis, Dr. Shulman is answering questions and reaching out to people all over the world.
Wow. And are his responses on the Ask Noah website so people can learn more about how can they celebrate like the Shabbos without keeping it as we of the nation of Israel do, or Passover or Hanukkah?
Yes. On the website, there's a way to send a message through saying who you are, where you are, and that you have questions, and you can send those questions through, and you'll receive back either an answer, or you'll receive back the name of a person in the country from which you are. We have people all over the world who are available, who are connected with us, who will answer questions, or even help set up groups.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So you could, I'd like to go down to the Zulu, the learning a little bit about this unique nation now, or is it a tribe? I want to understand. I thought they were just based in Kenya. Can you talk a little bit about, are they considered to be a tribe or a nation? And what, you know,
I'm a little ignorant about that. By the way, I think either Chabad.org or the Chabad newspaper printed an article about the group of people that came that represented the Zulu nation and stayed in Crown Heights. So if you do a little investigation, you might find out more than I know. The Zulu group, they call themselves a Zulu nation. They're very well educated.
Wow.
Many of them are business people in the main cities. But, you know, they do have families that live out in the bush. And I think I read that somebody from MIT developed a laptop that works off the sun. And that's how they study.
This is absolutely amazing. Yeah. Before we have on the line, Chaim, in about 4 or 5 minutes, we'll bring him on. Ron Williams is a scholarly Benno, has been learning with Rabbi Chaim Yaakov Rogalski for the past 20 years, and he's going to talk about with us how he didn't convert to become Jewish, and he's been learning the seven gates of righteous knowledge for all righteous Gentiles. So I think that I when he comes on, I'd like him to converse with you and converse with him, and then I'll add some questions or comments. This idea of this information coming out, and I was in a shul this morning where Moshe Klein, we have a daily class in Chassidus in Crown Heights, and I mentioned how it seems to me we're getting a taste of a prophetical teaching, although these teachings are not to necessarily raise up prophets amongst the nations, as much as there is a prophecy in the prophet Joel, and afterward I shall pour forth my spirit upon all flesh. All your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your elders will dream dreams, and your youth will see visions. So Mitzvah David talks about this is the spirit of wisdom and apprehension of godliness upon all flesh. This is referring to as well the B'nai Noah will discern and know God. And I think that AskNoah.org is configuring into the eventual manifestation of that very godly prophecy. Any take on those matters?
Well, I will tell you from my heart, the way I grew up, I knew I was Jewish, but all of my friends and the community I lived in was Gentile, and I grew to love my friends as family. Today, I view all of God's children, every human being in the world, as a piece of God in them, and fortunately, my teachings have shown me that when the Messiah comes very soon, the Gentile population of the world will actually hands-on be running the world completely. Every aspect of running the world will be done by righteous Gentiles. So I'm very, very excited about doing what I'm doing and promoting the seven laws, because basically what we're doing is we're inviting all Gentiles of the world to become righteous. It's their choice. When the Messiah comes, that's when the rewards will come to them as well as us.
Beautiful. And I think that's a very important component you just mentioned. I remember seeing a teaching from the Robert Shrubby saying that in the days of Mashiach, nation states will retain their sovereignty, which means that obviously they're going to be with the program with the Mashiach, the Messiah, in order to implement these teachings into their individual portions, wherever they may be in the world. I'd like to bring on Ron Williams. I've known Ron about 10 years now. He's a wonderful human being. And again, he's been learning about 20 years, Rabbi Yaakov Rogalsky. And I'd like to, first of all, let's bring him on. Ron, good afternoon.
Ron? Hello.
Hi. Let me introduce you to Chaim Reisner, who's the founder of AskNoah.org. Chaim, this is Ron Williams, superhuman.
Pleasure to meet you.
I'm enjoying listening to you this morning.
Ron, some surprising information, huh, that we didn't know about, huh?
Ron, as you always say, said it again, you definitely did.
So, Ron, could you please share with Chaim and our listening audience around the world, and by the way, I'd like to mention, Chaim, we now have 8 countries in Africa listening in. Our newest country listening in is Ethiopia. Ron, can you tell Chaim and our international listening audience, yet you once considered converting to become a Jew, but yet when you learned about the 7 commandments, you realized, wait a minute, I can be spiritually satiated at this level as well. Can you share this with Chaim? And I'm sure that Chaim is going to be very interested in your experience.
Hold on. The best way to do this, and the most the most understandable way, is to actually go back to the beginning, when we were living in Guyana, South America, and my mom, who had this thirst for a true understanding of God and what He wants from us, and back in the 70s and 80s in Guyana, we had 3 religions. It was Christianity, Islam, and Hinduism. So my mom, being from the Christians denomination, she decided to explore different Christian churches, Pentecostal, Baptist, all this, the Adventist. And eventually we ended up at the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually baptized as a Catholic, because my father was Catholic. And but she never felt that spiritual safety. She never felt satiated by the understanding that they were giving over to her. And as a teenager, I remember I decided, you know, I'll become more religious. I started attending classes at the Catholic Church. And I had a school friend who actually started working in the presbytery of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he came over, he visited us, and he said to me, Ron, you know what happened to the Israelite people of the Bible, the Red Sea, you know, those guys? I said, no, I figured they probably assimilated. I don't know, they died. I don't know. Because we had zero information on anything post pre New Testament. He said, Ron, they're alive and well. They're called Jews now, because it's the only nation that the only tribe that has that identity, and it's the tribe of Yehuda, and they're called Jews. Okay. And he started, and actually he discovered this in the presbytery of the Catholic Church, because there he encountered the Talmud. And he started studying the Talmud in the Catholic Church, in the presbytery.
Wow. Wow.
And they have works of the different religious works, and he started reading them, and he would bring this information out to us. We were having our casual conversations, constantly debating, because at the time I was holding up the Catholic banner, and he was persuading me that I was wrong. And I'm not easily persuaded, by the way, but my mom heard him once explaining that on the day of Yom Kippur, all your sins or transgressions, whatever it is that you committed, that you know, just sitting there in the back, everything, it's your slate is basically wiped clean. Unbeknownst to me, she was listening in the kitchen. And she walked over and she said, Ron, this is it. I said, what, Mom, this is it. What do you explain to me? She said, Ron, I heard in my ears a whisper, this is it. This is the religion. Now I'm in trouble, because I'm over there arguing with him, and my mom walks out and she says, this is where we have, this is the direction in which we go in. But I will tell you this. I'm not really a radical person. I always find myself falling in line with everybody else.
Right.
God, and I became a radical. I tore the entire New Testament out of the Bible. I left the Catholic Church. But before that, I walked over to a priest and I asked him, I said, what happened to the Israelites? The people who God gives the Ten Commandments to? He says to me, Dad, don't worry about that. We have to study now the New Testament, and this is what we're supposed to study. And of course, an argument ensued between me and him. And basically, you know, I was kicked out of the Catholic Church.
Hmm.
So that was the beginning of our quest in terms of a Judaic way of connecting to the Creator. We started keeping Shabbat. We would fast on Yom Kippur. And my friend even told me about that you have this thing called a mezuzah. He told us what's inside of it. So what do you think we did? We wrote the Shema. And we would strap it on our left arm with a kerchief whenever we would pray, and on our foreheads. So we made our own tefillin. Man, I'm telling you, I look back at it and think to myself, wow, we were completely nuts. And we decided, we're becoming Jews, that's it. So we got in contact with a rabbi, and we started communicating with him. And eventually we migrated to America. But we came to New York, so we decided to, you know, investigate, you know, where the Jewish people are located in New York. So we stayed right next door to a shul run by Rabbi Avraham Hicks. So the second day in America, I walk straight into the shul, I'm knocking on the door. They're davening, by the way. They open the door, and I, for the first time, I saw what the actual tefillin looks like. I'm like, wow. Okay, nothing close to what we create back home. And the rabbi looked at me, and he asked me, you know, he said, yes, can I help you? I said, I want to become Jewish. And my mom, she also. And he looked at us, and he said, honestly, I can't imagine what he was thinking.
Right.
He said, come on inside. And he said, you know, being Jewish is not easy. And I looked at him and said, we're not asking about easy or hard. We're becoming Jewish. He says, you guys working? No jobs, nothing. Give us a letter. He says, give us a note. Go to, and then we should visit your rabbinical alliance in America. And we got there, and this is in Manhattan. And we spoke to Rabbi Chris Rock, who gave us an application letter for conversion, and also gave us a letter of recommendation. And first he says, you have to work in a Jewish environment because, you know, there's a lot of holidays. And, you know, the Shabbos have to be off, so it's better to get into a Jewish environment. It's funny, we always lived in a non-Jewish environment. We lived in Queens and in the Richmond Hill section, but I always worked in a Jewish company. So I eventually started working at a company called Olam Cheese, the World Cheese, and I showed this conversion letter to my manager, and his rug in Borough Park was that rug I was supposed to convert with.
Mm-hmm.
We landed in America in 1987, and by 89, I was given by a co-worker the path of the righteous Gentile, and he said, Ron, I think the Rebbe just came out, he told us that we should start engaging with this of the non-Jewish world and giving them over what we've had for them all these years keeping. Now, you can honestly, you can't imagine what went through my head, because I never encountered this, because every Jewish person you encounter, they never offered you something like this. They offered, conversion is nice, okay, come Jewish. And I mean, they were so pleasantly like surprised and happy that, you know, people wanted to join them, that we always got the encouragement to become part of the Jewish people until I received the path of the righteous Gentile. Tell you the truth, it did not satiate my desire to become Jewish either at the time, because that was like the only book out there. And one of the things I think a lot of times when I know are looking for when they come towards Judaism is that it's like a spiritual type of involvement, and the path of the righteous Gentile is like it's basically raw.
Right.
It's the seven Noahide laws, and there's nothing there of this spiritual, I don't know.
You
know,
yeah.
so this everything is like cut and dry. You know, this is what you do, this is what you don't. It's not like, I guess, what, I don't know, what we're looking for at the time.
Right.
And, you know, the davening and everything together. And honestly, in the beginning, we felt very isolated. Because I brought the book home. My mom read it, my sister, my brothers. And we started, it wasn't a stretch for us coming from the fact that we wanted to keep the Torah. And we've already been reading the Torah, the basically the Bible, except for the New Testament that was edited.
Right.
So we kept reading and everything, and then we heard of Rabbi Rogalsky, and at the time it was just myself, my mom, Rabbi Rogalsky, and I had one more friend who also wanted to convert. He'd already converted his kitchen to a kosher kitchen out in Long Island, where he's from. And we would meet and we would study, and this has been on for the past 20 years. We had a few members, people who come and go, but the group never grew out of two people. It was just the two of us.
Right. Well, I'd like to ask you a question, and I'd like to segue into you discussing, or Chaim have any questions or comments, and you discussing with him, you know, these experiences. You also learn from the Divine Code, but more recently you've been learning from a book which is published by AskNoah.org, which means Chaim Reisner is directly involved. It's called The Seven Gates of Righteous Knowledge for All Righteous Gentiles. Can you talk about your learning from this book, what you're getting from it, and then hopefully this will bring Chaim into the conversation. You can ask him questions, make comments, and he can respond, and I'll be in the background.
Okay, first of all, it's an awesome piece of work. It's added to my Noahi collection. I recommend this book, actually. For me, I found it an easy reading because I've also read a few of the Mishnah Torah from the Rambam. But I know you got the Mishnah on the foundations of the Torah.
Right.
So, yes, I read that. Right now, I'm actually every single day I go through the Divine Code. That is like I approach that in the way of like everyday learning. It's not a simple reading because you have to really go slowly. I would always say with the Divine Code, it's a book that I approach on a day to day study fashion as opposed to a book where you would just sit down and just read from cover to cover, basically.
Right. Chaim, wrong story. Does this sound like a typical story, or is it, out of
I have to say, first of all, you're an amazing human being. I'm glad you found that you are truly a child of the Almighty, you and your mom and all the people you've approached. I appreciate your efforts. You are not alone. Throughout the world, there are tens of thousands of your brothers and sisters just like you. What we have done is, anyone that contacts us, we provide them with people, rabbis, who they can go to for further studies. You have to know the terminologies. You have to know where things come from and why, so that there are very learned people that Dr. Shulman is aware of and Yossi Shulman is aware of, and they'll put you in touch with these people so that they can interpret for you how it affects you in your way of life and how you should be able to absorb and understand and fulfill what the books are saying. I'm currently working on a book. I don't have a name for it yet. It's taken me a while, but my book will not be a halakhic source. It will be a source that reaches human beings to their heart, to their minds, and their soul, just to tell them a little bit about what the seven laws are, why they are, the commitment that a person has to make to follow them, as such as you have done, and then what the great rewards will be. And the rewards will be in the future, of course. Some rewards are now, but most of the rewards will come from the future. So for all the listeners that are out there that have the Seven Gates or the Divine Code or To Perfect the World or any of our other books, I strongly suggest you contact us2asknoah.org. And we will provide you with people who are well-versed, who will be able to speak to you either on phone or the internet, or even set up classes right in your own community. The most important thing, my friend, is that you need to share your knowledge with others. You have to invite others who are around you, friends or relatives, people that you work with, people that you're neighbors. Invite them to come and learn with you and share with you the knowledge that you've obtained, because you have to consider yourself a student of the Almighty, put here in the world specifically to learn what you're learning, and you're being given a blessing to do it. But why? So you can help others and teach others as well. And I commend you for all your efforts.
Ron, I've mentioned to you as many times as well that you have this knowledge. You know, Chaim, I know, again, I know Ron almost 10 years, and he really fears Hashem. And he is, one of his concerns, Ron, I hope you don't mind me saying this, that he doesn't want to make a mistake. But I just want to point out that there is a standard of Torah learning where if we make a mistake, that we see the greatest sages of our people are recorded in the Gemara saying, I made a mistake. So it's an instruction in Torah, and I'm going to assume that it also part of the seven Noah commandments. If one shares information and realizes one made a mistake in the transmission, to go back, humble oneself, and say to so-and-so, whoever they spread the teaching to, share it with, I made a mistake. Let's revisit that teaching, and we can correct the misinterpretation. It happens many times. It's not just in the realm of B'nai Noah. There are rabbis who make mistakes that are humble enough to realize they can make a mistake. Only Hashem, God, is perfect.
Can I address that?
Yes.
You know, the most important thing in our times now, to stop the chaos in the world, to get people on the right track, to believe that there's a God and to know that God put information in the world for them, is to spread the word. Spread the word that God did put laws in the world for all human beings. Spread the word that every human being is a godly individual with the right and the freedom to choose to study these laws. Don't worry about mistakes that you make. That's what Ask Noah is for. Any thought that you have about how to say something or that you said the wrong thing, just send a note in and say, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? What should I say? But don't be afraid. God made us not perfect. We're not like him. So we make mistakes, but we have to be his eyes and ears and mouth. We have to spread the word of the seven laws throughout the world, because the world needs to be a better place right now. And the world needs an injection of godliness. The world needs to know that there is a creator and he has not gone away. And he is watching and listening, and everyone is being tested right now. Will they or won't they? But people don't know that. So please encourage your friends and neighbors and family members to get on the train, even if it's just a little bit. And don't worry, there'll be thousands of questions. People are smart. They're intelligent. They'll have millions of questions to ask, and the dialogue will be great. And you'll have little coffee clutches and tea clutches, and people will get together, and you'll enjoy their company, and you'll make new friends by doing it.
And again, I suggest, and I assert as well, this is the way of Abraham. Abraham went out and he had I say it tongue in cheek, Abe's delicatessen. He pitched a tent in Beersheba where he would serve luscious food with fruits and everything, and and the guests would come to and there were no Jews back then. It was basically Arabians or would have been Africans.
Only Gentiles.
And he would serve these luscious meals with fruits and everything. And at the end of the meal, he would ask them to bless the Creator's name. And they said, well, we don't want to. He's like, okay, so we would pull out a bill. I said, well, if you don't want to pay, you're going to have to pay. If you don't want to praise Hashem, you'll have to pay. So they praised Hashem. And he spent many hours talking. The simplest ideas to people who had no idea that there was one Creator. Because we have to remember, in Abraham's generation, idolatry was the thing to do. You know, like today we say in a generation, tongue-in-cheek, we say the real thing is Coca-Cola. Obviously, the Abishter, Hashem is the real thing, so they say Coca-Cola. But back then, idolatry was the real thing for the majority of human beings in the time of Abraham. And yet, through loving-kindness, and apparently he and his wife, Sarah, were excellent chefs or cooks, which, by the way, Chaim is also a chef, maybe he wants to mention that at the end of the program, was it coming down the last 9 minutes, that, you know, a cup of coffee and some sincere dialogue can go a long way towards changing a person's entire life, and it can have a generational or intergenerational effect. Chaim, I need to take on these matters.
Well, first of all, thanks for my plug. I do have a cookbook that's produced by Amazon called Happy Kosher. Foods of the world that I have taken and made kosher. So people who come from different countries, in the countries which they come from, those dishes are not kosher. But there was a time when I was not kosher, and a member of the Culinary Institute of America, and I got to taste those foods. So now I've made them to taste like the originals, and they're all kosher. Anyone interested? Amazon, Happy Kosher. There are volumes called Torah Anthology by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, and there's tremendous history of our people.
Yes.
In one of the volumes, it actually says that Abraham and Sarah lived their lives in accord with the 7 laws of Noah. Of course, we know they were blessed with heavenly voices and other information that was provided with them. Where they would actually keep the holidays of the Torah and many of the mitzvahs of the Torah, but their daily lives and what they taught to the people around them. Abraham had 2,500 workers, not servants, but workers that worked for him that he paid daily. He had 365 students, and they were all Gentile. They weren't Jewish. So what did he teach them? He taught them the 7 laws. And that's what went on all the way to Mount Sinai. So the world, hopefully, will start to learn the 7 laws, and I sincerely believe that will bring the Messiah immediately.
Amen. Ron, you've been learning from Torah Anthology, if I recall. Can you talk about your experiences learning Torah Anthology?
Actually, it was recommended to me. I actually purchased them directly from Mizraim. I think they may be available now from Amazon, if I'm not mistaken.
They are.
They are. Great. I purchased them. I have the entire Genesis, which to me was very, very, very eye-opening. Actually, I felt as if I lived in that time with the amount of details that were provided by Rabbi Yaakov Kulin, interpreted by Rav Kaplan. Rest his soul. And I studied from that. I have the Midrash Tells, which is very easy reading, but it also gives a very good recount of a lot of details of what transpired in those times. And reading that, you realize that times have not really changed that much in terms of, you know, the good that people are capable of, and unfortunately, that which is not good that they're capable of. And we have to learn to be able to, we have to be better equipped to make the right choice, because many times making a right choice seems difficult because of the lack of information that we really don't possess, the information that we do not possess. So basically that's been my reading since the Sada Nicknacks I picked up on the side, like the Perkei Avos, and my Rav that I really studied with Yaakov Rogalsky. basically he recommends books for me. And also, if I hear of something or I see them online, I would always check with him first. He would check to make sure that it's coming from a kosher source. And that's what I do. I just stay home and read. One of the reasons why I don't really, I really haven't been pursuing people in terms of actually going out and saying anything is because of, first of all, I really didn't make any friends since I came to America. I basically work and come home. We are not, unfortunately, we're not very friendly in terms of, we don't really, we live here, we don't know the neighbors, we don't really know their names, we don't really interact much. I've worked always in a Jewish company, so all my actual friends that I have now, they're all Jewish. My mom recently encountered a woman at the dentist who was just, she just kept, looking at my mom, and eventually they started the conversation, and she was explained to her that she just left Hinduism, and she was told that she should pursue Christianity, and at that point in time, I told my mom, once she calls, I will speak to her and her husband when they once she is ready, and I will start giving her books to read, and instead of try to enlighten her to shift myself, because unfortunately the actual God gives to us has been overshadowed by man-made religions that have been created. So a lot of people out there have no idea what the shift mitzvah is. When you mention to them, it's like, what is this, a new religion you're involved with? I will try, and once someone approaches me, there's no hindrance there, but to just start it off.
I just thought it was nice to bring up. First of all, I want to thank you for coming on the program today, as well as Chaim, because we're winding down today's program. Hopefully we can do a future show, because I know there's other issues that you've experienced around that we haven't been able to talk about today. We've talked on prior programs about how you interact with individuals who come from the former Soviet Union. Chaim, as we wind down today's program, how can individuals connect with you and AskNoah.org or any other information you think is relevant to spreading the this information around the world?
First of all, I'd like to say that all the people that are listening and all the people studying, you are a light of the Almighty to the world. You're lighting up the world. Even by just listening to this program, you're a light of godliness to the world. Anyone interested, go to AskNoah.org. If you don't have a computer or a laptop, ask a relative or a friend. Send in a message. If you don't have a laptop or a phone, give them an address. They'll mail you literature right to your address. And any information that you want to have, anything, how to start a coffee group in your community, how to be proactive with the communities where you live, we have banners that are available, we have brochures that are available to give out. We just started a new program called A Call to Action, which is a sheet which tells all of acts of kindness and goodness that people can do in their community. So AskNoah.org, we're out there for you, for the people, and we're available. But anybody that would like to further our cause, to reach out to the rest of the world, there is a place on our website to make a donation if you choose. I really appreciate your inviting me to speak today, and I thank you so very much. And I just want you to know that you are a great blessing to Hashem and to the Rebbe.
Amen. Well, I thank you, Chaim, and I hope that this will not be just our only broadcast, and hopefully eventually we can have Dr. Shulman or Weiner or even Yossi Shulman, anyone you feel that will further the cause or the dispersing this information, because I see that there are so many good people who want to connect to the Creator, and the perfect conduit for that is through the seven universal commandments or laws, whichever you want to call it. And I want to thank you again. And blessed souls, that concludes today's program. I hope you enjoyed it. And by the way, this will be an archive version within the next hour or 2 hours. We're going to segue out of today's program with a song, Finally Here, by Rabbi Ari Goldwald, who lives out in the Holy Land. And before we sign off, as I am prone to do, as your local international cyberspace tour activist, Don Duce Goodman, remind everyone, I've got to be good, you've got to be good, we've all got to be good, because the Tevah Tov Lehiti, which is nature of the good to do good, creates the source of our goodness, waits so patiently for us to activate that goodness, because each one of us has a divine image which will help us get out and scrimmage in the experience. It's not a game life. Life is an experience, a portal towards the universal redemption, which will be earmarked by no hatred, no jealousy, no unhealthy forms of competition. Let's get ready, and here's a song, Finally Here, by Ari Goldwald. Take care, everyone.
Amen. Take care. Thank you. Amen.
Excellent.